You're listening to SBS News.
As leaders debate the key target to reduce greenhouse emissions to net zero by 2050, there's another daunting milestone that date represents. According to the World Bank, by then, climate change would have forced no fewer than 216 million people across six world regions to relocate. But with concerted action now, it estimates the scale of climate migration could be reduced by as much as 80%. The Caldor Centre for International Refugee Law is hosting a conference addressing the questions of global warming displacement. Centre Director Professor Jane McAdam says it's an issue that's close to home.
We know already that 80% of disaster-related displacement over the past decade has occurred within the Asia-Pacific region. So that's millions and millions of people. And last year, for example, globally, there were 31 million people displaced by the impacts of a disaster.
According to Professor McAdam, disaster-related movement now makes up 75% of internal displacement, compared to the 25% caused by war or conflict.
So it's not just an issue that's happening in the future, it's happening right now. And climate change is only going to increase the severity and or the frequency of these disasters. So we'll see movement, you know, in anticipation of or as a disaster hits. And we're also starting to see, and increasingly we'll see movement in anticipation of longer term processes like sea level rise.
Intensifying wildfires, cyclones, droughts and floods are also making lives increasingly precarious for millions of people. As climate change exacerbates these pressures, there is increased potential more people will need to move to avoid displacement or seek refuge away from their home. Some will relocate within their own countries. Others may be displaced further afield. Asia-Pacific Migration Network Secretariat Jessica Van Son from the Australian Red Cross says preventative action needs to be taken to avoid moving people from their homes, which should be a last resort.
It's about having really inclusive and accessible disaster risk reduction measures in place that prevent displacement before it occurs and that make sure communities are included in those responses. If displacement can't be prevented, it's about making sure that people have the protection and the assistance that they need, particularly if people are displaced across borders, making sure that there's the right legal frameworks in place to make sure that they are looked after.
With no legal definition of a climate refugee, establishing those legal frameworks, according to Jane McAdam, is a key sticking point, particularly in this region, where rising sea levels and more frequent extreme weather events are posing existential threats to the residents of Pacific Islands.
We don't yet have clear international legal frameworks that would facilitate movement. In some parts of the world, Africa is an example, there are free movement agreements between certain countries or groups of countries that mean people can move much more freely. But we don't yet have anything like that really in the Pacific other than the Trans-Tasman arrangement that enables people from Australia and New Zealand to move relatively freely.
World leaders are seeking to reach bolder agreements to slow global warming at the Glasgow talks. But no matter the result of the conference and any targets set, Jane McAdam says people will continue to be forced to relocate from the impacts of climate change and disasters.
Even if carbon emissions were to stop today, we now know that some level of displacement is going to occur and we need to be prepared for that, so that we can manage it and ensure that people are assisted and protected rather than scrambling in a humanitarian emergency in the aftermath of displacement.
Tola Morala is Secretary General of the Red Cross in Samoa, where its estimated sea levels have risen 4 millimetres a year since 1993. She says the erosion has swallowed up land dramatically, while warmer ocean temperatures have bleached coral and depleted fish stocks.
A lot of our land and families that used to live on the coastal areas, because the erosion is so quick. So they have lost that part of their lands.
A devastating 2009 tsunami prompted many from traditional coastal communities to make the difficult decision to leave their homes and move inland to higher ground. Some, Tola Morala says, have migrated to New Zealand and Australia through seasonal farm worker programs.
It really changed the lifestyle. You know, before, you know, you will see a lot of canoes in the sea, you know, people fishing. We hardly see that. Even at night, you know, we hardly see, people fishing at night.
And there are signs international world leaders are taking heed of the widespread implications. The Biden administration, which will be represented at this week's conference, is undertaking a review of what the United States should do to help people displaced by global warming. New Zealand has announced it will carve off more than $1.2 billion of its foreign aid budget to help vulnerable nations, while the United Nations Human Rights Council has recognised for the first time the right to a clean, healthy and sustainable environment. It's created a new role, a special rapporteur on human rights protection and promotion in the context of climate change. Gareth Borum, SBS News.